Welcome to the podcast of Broadway Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, and the preaching of Pastor Daniel Othman, a biblical church centered on Christ.
Those of us upstairs in Big Church, we want to open up our Bibles to the book of Numbers. We've been going through a sermon series called In Between, which is basically this time period here of about 40 years of through the book of Numbers, where the Israelites are stuck. They're in the desert, they're frustrated, they're going around in circles, and they just aren't making any progress, and they feel like they're not getting to what they want. Remember, they had left, by this point, probably 10, 15 years had gone by, and they had left, Moses had brought them out of slavery in Egypt, and they were supposed to just go on up to Israel and take the promised land. But because of their disobedience, and their grumbling, and their griping, and their complaining, God chose to discipline them in the wilderness for 40 years. And it's just like they're waiting and waiting. He says, why aren't we going into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, and take the land? Like, why? It's like we're just stuck. Like, here we are. We're ready to jump into battle and take the promised land, but we are stuck in a desert, and they have the same old problems in the desert. There's never any water. So they're all, and that's what we're going to see today here. But God's providing the manna and the quail every morning. They just appear, but they're wrestling with this water issue, and that's because they're in a desert, and they know this is where we're at, but this is not where we're not supposed to be. It's kind of like about 15 years ago, the movie came out, and it's very similar. It kind of illustrates this. It's called Failure to Launch. Failure to Launch. It's a comedy movie. It's about this man who's 40 years old. And one day he's going to leave mama's house and become a man. But he just can't seem to do that. His mama pours his milk. His mama washes his clothes. He's a grown man, 40 years old. His mother makes his bed. He can't seem to get a job. He plays video games and watches TV all day. But he has all these goals. And one day he's going to go out into the real world and drive a car and pay for stuff himself. But he's just stuck. It's like, one day I'm gonna launch into the real world and become a man. And I'm already halfway to my death, but one day I'm gonna launch and leave mama's house and leave the basement. But it just never happens. And he just gets stuck the whole time. Well, that's what the Israelites are like. They're just stuck in the desert. Like, why aren't we going to battle? We're literally walking around in circles, and we're supposed to be attacking the promised land. It's like they're struggling with failure to launch in their life. That's what we see right here. And this is actually Moses's, in many ways, his saddest part of all the things that he does. Because Moses is really going to get caught up in some stuff, and he's going to disobey the Lord. And if I had to ask you this morning, is there ever a time that you have forgotten about the holiness of God? Like, do you think about that? It says, do you ever think about how important it is to obey and to show respect to the Lord? And probably a lot of us could think about times that we've done that, but if I ask the question, when, you might not quickly answer a time period when that occurred. Well, this is going to be that time period for Moses. So, the background information, I'm going to read this all 13 verses here. What's occurring here is Moses has this emotional weight on him. Because they're stuck, they've been in the desert now for years. At this point, his sister Miriam, she's about to die. The people still are complaining about lack of water. And the amazing thing about the lack of water is they have dealt with this issue over and over again, yet the Lord has always provided water. Now, they've had to have issues with that. The people are complaining about Moses' leadership. The last people who complained about Moses' leadership, Korah, earth opened up and swallowed them. You would think the people, after seeing earth open up and swallow people, they would stop. But they still don't. They're still griping. You would think also negativity is something you wouldn't want to approach Moses with, because the spies who brought a bad report, they're all dead. But the people do not learn. Because they're stuck in a desert, it's hot, and there's no water. And we're still not going to battle. And this is day after day after day. And they know it's only like a 3-mile walk, four or five day walk up into Israel. But we, for whatever reason, we're not there. So the frustration is building. And Moses also had an anger problem. Remember when he was in Egypt as a young man, he killed an Egyptian. And that's one of the reasons he had to flee into the wilderness. He lost his temper. So Moses is has very strong emotions. And this message here is about Moses. He cannot manage his emotions. Because what happens, God gives us emotions. But one of the things about emotions, we have to remember, we are sinful, fallen people. We live in a fallen world. And our emotions are also part of that sinful fallenness. So just because you're emotional about something and you feel strongly about something, that does not mean that's necessarily the right thing to do. Because your emotions can be very sinful too, because we are sinful people. What's most important for us is that we stay faithful in obeying the Lord, because that's what Moses here, he does not do. So we're in our Bibles, we're going to read this story. Numbers chapter 20, verse 1. Then the entire Israelite community entered the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and they settled in Kadesh. Miriam died and was buried them. So that's the first emotion Moses is dealing with, grief. He just lost his sister. He's sad. There was no water for the community, so they assembled against Moses and Aaron. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why have you brought the Lord's assembly into this wilderness for us and our livestock to die here? Why have you led us up from Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It's not a place of grain, figs, vines, and pomegranates, and there's no water to drink." I mean, this has been a reoccurring problem. So that's the emotion of frustration. The people are frustrated. I'm sure Moses is frustrated. We've been dealing with this water issue because we're in the middle of a desert. There's just no water. There's no lake. There's no ocean. And everyone's thirsty. Even the animals are frustrated. It's just unhappiness is going around everywhere. Then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the doorway of the tent of meeting. They fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord spoke to Moses. So right, Moses doesn't even know what to say. He just goes to God. This same, we have gone through this now so many times with Moses. The people complain, and he goes and pleads for them. At this point, he's not even saying anything. He just goes and falls face down and says, "God, you know, the same old problem, nothing new. People are thirsty. They still don't like me. They don't want to do anything. They just want to die." And, you know, and it's just, we're on repeat. And that's what we see right here. So he's falling face down. The glory of the Lord appeared to them. They spoke to Moses. The Lord spoke to Moses. "Take the staff and assemble against the assemble of the community. You and your brother Aaron are to speak to the rock while they watch." That's very important. Notice the command. Moses, you're to speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. You keep that in mind. Watch what's going to happen here. "You're to speak to the rock, and it will yield its water. You will bring out water for them from the rock and provide drink for the community and their livestock." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he had commanded him. Moses and Aaron summoned the assembly in front of the rock. And Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels." That's not what he was supposed to say right there. He's calling them rebels. First thing he does is he starts insulting the people. "Listen, you rebels, must we bring water out of this rock for you?" Look at that sentence. Must we? Moses and Aaron, are they the one bringing the water out of the rock? Can Moses now perform miracles on his own behalf? You can see he's frustrated. So now he's disobeying the Lord. He's calling them rebels. He's saying, "Must we bring water out of this rock for you?" Then Moses raised his hand, and look at this. He struck the rock twice with his staff, so that the abundant water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust me to demonstrate my holiness in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this assembly into the land I have given them." Moses just was told, Moses, you just lost your opportunity. Now you're not going in the promised land. The people already weren't going in the promised land, but now you've been rejected. These are the words, or the waters of Meribah. Meribah means quarreling, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord, and he demonstrated his holiness to them. That's a key verse right there. God demonstrated his holiness to them. Moses here got caught up in some things, and he missed what was most important. First thing he got caught up in is this lack of water issue. See, this is not the first time the Lord has brought water out of a rock. Well, you don't need to turn there, but back in Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, they were in this, they're at this wilderness of Zin, at this rock, Meribah rock. 15 years earlier, they were at Mount Horeb, which is also Mount Sinai, the same mountain where God gave the Ten Commandments. They also had no water over there. So back in Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, the people were complaining about lack of water, and God said, take your staff, Moses, and strike the rock and watch the water come out. So Moses was very familiar with bringing water out of a rock. He had already performed this miracle several years earlier. So here we are again. It's just a new wilderness, same problem, no water, same desert, where everybody's still thirsty, the animals are thirsty. But not only was he dealing with a familiarity, so he was used to bringing water out of a rock. He had done that before. He had just lost his sister Miriam, so he was overcome with grief. And Miriam was a leader and was very close to her brother. So he's battling the loss of his sister. But not only that, he's got this grumbling group of people who are still complaining and questioning his leadership. They're still griping about, why don't we just die? Why did you bring us out of Egypt? This is awful. They're eating the same old food. There's never any water. There's no lakes or rivers nearby, so water has to come from the Lord, from a rock. And you just see how everything is just building for Moses. So he becomes angry from this. Moses is angry. He's frustrated. He's battling grief. And not only that, he's very familiar with bringing water from a rock. That seems like a perfect scenario for him to disobey the Lord. And it is. He forgot the Lord's holiness. God told Moses very plainly, you are to take this staff, but don't hit the rock, just speak to the rock. And watch, as you talk, water will start coming out of the rock. And that's not what he did. In his anger, he accuses the people for being rebels. And then he makes the statement, must we bring water out of this rock? As if Moses is now. Moses has become so caught up in his emotions and all the problems he's dealing with and his frustration. He's now taking credit for the miracle that God is going to do. Moses and Aaron didn't bring water out of the rock, but he told the people he did. And that statement there, once he said that, at that point, the Lord judged him. Because look at the judgment. He took the staff, and here's how he's going to disobey the Lord. He's supposed to speak to the rock. He goes, and he swings the first time, and he hits the rock. First of all, he shouldn't even be hitting a rock. Now, in Exodus chapter 17, when he was at Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, God told him to strike the rock. He just felt like, I'm just going to do that again. Been there, done that. I've already brought water out of a rock. But do you know, once he hit that rock the first time, it says he had to strike it twice. Do you know what that first strike was for? It was for Moses. I bet the moment that staff hit that rock, after the first swing, Moses stopped because he realized it didn't work. And probably God got his attention. He said, Moses, you have disobeyed me. And Moses is probably the only one that's realizing this, because he's realizing, uh-oh, water didn't come out. I'm not even supposed to be swinging the staff at the rock. I told all the people that I was going to bring water out of the rock, and I called all the people rebels. Now, the thing about them being rebels, all of them are rebels. They've been rebelling against the Lord the whole time. This is nothing new. And now Moses is finding himself rebelling against the Lord. He's in that camp with them, disobeying God. And I believe what has happened is his emotions, all the things in his life, have clouded out his judgment from properly obeying the Lord like he should. God told him exactly what to do. You just go speak to the rock and the water will flow out. But he did not obey the Lord. And what's interesting about this, the Bible actually told us in that story that Moses fell face down before God. I believe probably, and what this was what happens in our life too. We're face down, we're spending time, we're praying with the Lord, but we are not really thinking or focused on the Lord. Moses has all these other things on his mind: frustration, anger, grief, familiarity with the lack of water and hitting a rock. He was used to all of that. So he's thinking about probably his action plan and his anger about all these people instead of listening to the Lord. And what happens is when we are upset about something or we're angry about something, that can cloud and prevent us from faithfully following the Lord. This is Moses' lack of faithfulness right here. He's not listening and obeying what the Lord has told him to do. So he just swung his staff and he hit that rock and nothing happened. I believe at that point, God did that first swing to say, Moses, you're at fault here. Because he realized, oh, it didn't work. The magic trick didn't work for Moses. After all, he was the one who was going to bring water out of a rock. So what happened? Moses, where's your water at? And then he hit it a second time and it worked. And God allowed him the second time work, not for Moses' sake. The first one was to discipline Moses. The second one, the people were thirsty and they did have to stay alive. The Lord was going to provide for them. And then once that was over, quickly the Lord said, Moses, I need to speak with you. Just come on back to the tent of meeting. For your disobedience, for you trying to take credit for that miracle, for you telling all these people that you were going to bring water out of the rock, you too will not enter the promised land. Only now Joshua and Caleb are the only ones who are going to go in because of their good report. And the statement that is told, if you look at verse 13, this here is what ties all of this together. These are the waters of Meribah. And remember, Meribah means quarreling. They were quarreling and arguing with God. And that includes Moses. He's quarreling with the Lord. And what happened there? The Lord demonstrated his holiness to them. What that means is God reminded Moses that he was the Lord. Because Moses had forgotten. Moses felt like he was in charge. He was doing the right thing. He felt, I'm going to bring water. And there's a danger. We have to be aware in our life when we're in a familiar situation. In many ways, this is what it would be like. You come into a worship service. You hear a sermon. You have the Lord's Supper. We sing songs. We hear a great Annie Armstrong Easter offering report for our church. And then the moment you just barely even get out and get on the Pasadena Road, at that point, you have already forgotten. You haven't even made it barely out of the parking lot. You have already forgotten what the Lord spoke to you about. Moses, remember, he's face down before God. God told him exactly, you speak to that rock. It did not last very long. By the time he had walked in front of the assembly of people, he was angry, calling them rebels, and he was hitting a rock two times. And then he got condemned by the Lord for his disobedience. Holiness is recognizing God demonstrating his holiness to us is we have to remember that our emotions when we're upset or we feel we're very familiar with something or we don't take the Lord's teaching very serious and faithfully and obeying every single word of what the Lord has told us, we're saying, God, I'm going to do my selfish thing. I'm going to do what I want to do. I want to do it my way. I'm going to allow my emotions and my anger and my frustration to take the lead and to be displayed rather than you. You know, when you have a lot of strong emotions, if you ever get angry, if you ever get frustrated, you don't want to spill that into every other person's life. Yes, Moses is frustrated. Yes, Moses is angry. But what God wanted Moses to do was to obey him. That's all he wanted. He didn't want him to show up and say, listen, you rebels, you're the problem. The people weren't the problem. All Moses was being called to faithfulness. And that faithfulness, just like us, God calls us to faithfulness. Faithfulness is not being influenced by other people. It's obeying and following the Lord. That's what being faithful to God is. Because the thing is, all around us, we're going to have a brand new week this week. You're going to go out and you're going to meet people who are going to disappoint you, who are going to hurt you, who are going to stab you in the back, who are going to gossip about you. Things aren't going to get done. Things are going to cost more than it is. There will be some political mess. There will be some tragic event that occurs in this nation. And if you're not careful, and I'm not careful, we will allow all these circumstances around us that we have no control over to influence our actions towards other people. And we will allow that. We can get carried away in these surrounding circumstances than being faithful to God. And that is what Moses did. And when we do this, when we get caught up in the things of life all around us and other people's problems and what people say about us, instead of us focusing on how wonderful and great God is, we have redirected that towards ourselves. And that's the focus moves from the Lord to us. And we start thinking, gosh, here we are again. Must I bring water out of a rock? Like, do I have to make water come out of a rock? Moses forgot that he's not able to perform miracles. The miracle comes from the Lord. And if you are in need of a miracle this morning, you have to remember where that miracle comes from is from your faithfulness to God. It's not because of anything you can say or you can do. It's from the Lord. That is how God demonstrates his holiness to us, as it says here in verse 13. And what has happened, answering that question, what occurred here is the people had forgotten, i.e. Moses had forgotten, most importantly, that he needs to make sure that he obeys and honors the Lord more than anyone else. The anger of man does not accomplish the purposes of God. You getting angry and upset about something, God is not impressed by that. Jesus did get angry one time in the Bible. His one time the Bible says he was angry is actually when he came to church. He came to church, and instead of having a worship service, it was like a flea market. They're selling animals and sacrifices and ripping people off. He goes, what on earth? You show up at church? I thought, what if you came here to church and we had booths lined up all over the place and you could buy hot dogs? I'm right here in the sanctuary. You come up on the stage and get a hamburger and get some drinks. And instead of having worship service, you go sit in your pew and you eat breakfast. And you keep hanging out and you're eating lunch. You go, what is this? This is what was going on with Jesus. And he got angry and started getting rid of this stuff. He goes, you're robbing our Father of the worship that he deserves. He says, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. You're robbing God of what is rightly his. And when we find ourselves trying to get angry and allow our emotions to get a hold of us, we aren't doing God's will. That's not how calm heads, cooler ways always prevail. Because calling people rebels, taking credit for miracles that you can't do, feeling that only you can solve the problem, that's what was going on with Moses. Moses felt like, I'm the solution to the problem. And the solution to the problem was obeying the Lord. The people did not trust the Lord. That was the problem. And it's easy for us to find there is a fine line between worship and idolatry. And at this point, Moses had crossed that line and went into idolatry. And that's where he was trying to take credit for something that God only can do. In our spiritual life, we want to make sure we have the proper holiness of God, and that if we have lost it, he will demonstrate his holiness to us. And he does that by pointing out to us, reminding us, showing to us that we're not God. We're not going to bring water out of a rock. And Moses, you're not going to enter the promised land. That prayer for us will not be answered. All of a sudden, what happens in our life, we will experience the unanswered prayers from the Lord. We will experience a lack of peace. You'll lose your joy. And God's showing to Moses, Moses, I'm doing this to discipline you for your disobedience because you forgot who I was. And I ask you this morning, have you forgotten the holiness of God? You know, this Bible story talks about a rock. You know, this rock is also displayed in the New Testament with Jesus. Jesus is the rock. What happened on Good Friday is God struck the rock, Jesus, on the cross. Moses is striking a rock to bring water on it. The Bible teaches us that Jesus here, he gives us living water that we never thirst again. Ultimately, these rocks that are pouring out water is actually fulfilled in the New Testament through the work of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I ask you, have you ever trusted Jesus to give you living water? Have you ever prayed and received Jesus as your Savior? Or are you going about your life being led by emotions, being led by whatever circumstances in your life, and you have forgotten the demonstration of God's holiness? Many of us, sometimes we do something in our own strength and we strike a rock and nothing happens. And at that moment, God spoke to Moses. Because Moses, I'm sure, had chills go down his body. Realize, uh-oh, I'm in wrong here. And then the second time it worked. But it wasn't for Moses. That was for the people. The first one was for Moses. I bet Moses didn't drink from that water because he realized, oh no, the Lord did this. And in our life, God is calling you and I to follow him. And we do that by trusting as Jesus Christ is our Savior. And it's not leading by emotions. It's not being led by feelings. It's led by faithfulness of following the Lord. Beecher, I'll invite you in the band. Why don't y'all come follow? We're going to have our invitation. If you want to get saved this morning, we're about to close our worship service. And this is our time to respond. Moses responded to God in a disobedient way. We respond to God by recognizing that he is holy. He's the only one who saves. He's the one we turn to. The Bible teaches us in Psalm 23 that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. What that means is you go about your life and you rightly see that the Lord is the one we follow. The goodness follows us. Goodness had been following Moses up until this point. But through our sinfulness and our disobedience and following our own feelings, our own emotions, we lose God's holiness. And this morning, the Lord asks you, do you need God's goodness to follow you? And that is found through a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask everybody to stand up. Do you want to get saved this morning? Do you want to make any other type of decision? This is a wonderful church for you to join. We stand out front. I'm going to invite Zach Bauer. Zach, you come stand up here with me. We stand out front. You come make your decision public this morning in following Jesus.